Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily. It's some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we reflected on football. We reflected on one of the more unsavoury stories of the weekend, which you can probably guess. And we had a bit of a laugh as well.
We did. We had a chat about ballet, believe it or not.
Yeah, and you brought ballet into the mix, which was very good at you.
You know, give a bit of culture to the show. John Ketley came along to talk about not the weather, although we did get onto the weather, as you often
do. We have to, don't you? If you're talking to a weatherman, you can't really avoid it.
A bit mad.
A crackpot poll he was chatting about, defending the people of his home city. And don't ask me. Andy wants to keep doing it because he wanted to go on a roll. But did he get 5 out of 5 of the second week running?
Thriller.
Let's find out.
Talking of making a fool of myself, I have to say, my reaction on Saturday afternoon when I saw the team, honestly, I nearly turned around and got back on the train.
Really?
Well, I just thought it was mad. The false nine just made no sense. Mm. And for the first half of the match, it looked that way. It looked as if what I said, I thought Chelsea would never be able to get out. They had no out ball.
No.
And City would...
Morata wasn't even on the bench, was he?
No. And City kept nicking the ball, as I predicted, and nearly sort of got in there. But in the end, Chelsea...
Were you loudly shouting this at the game? Were you...
Well, I sort of proclaimed it as I arrived. Yeah, I did put myself on offer.
How do you proclaim?
Well, I said, what on earth is he doing? That's useless. It's blah, 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 blah.
And were you talking to anybody in particular?
Yeah,
or were you
all the people around me.
Oh, okay, right.
No,
right.
I don't stand there making a proclamation.
Do you turn in a circle like the magic robot?
No, like everybody else.
Do you have a bell when you say...
Chat with the people around me.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the second half that was
But didn't they give you clog in the second half? And there we go, Andy. What about the old false nine?
No, only the bloke in front of me, old Father Christmas, who basically had it 3-0. He had a bet 3-0 on Chelsea.
Wow.
He's always very optimistic, which is good. And the second half, they started to sort of find a way out down City's left-hand side, playing their way out. Because my method... This is what I would have done. That's why I'm not the manager of Chelsea.
Stick in the mixer?
I would have put Giroud and Morata. I would have played both of them with Hazard around them.
Yeah.
And I'd have just gone long over the press.
So when I said stick it in the mixer...
Basically, but a sort of sophisticated mixer rather than a sort of, you know...
Still the mixer, though,
still a mixer, but, you know, it's got a bit of class, that mixer. But anyway,
it's like top of the range Kenwood, is it?
I was completely wrong. David Luiz, what a mad player, isn't he? Like... Against Liverpool, Arsenal and City this year, he's been world class.
Mm.
And against Spurs, he's like Sideshow Bob. I mean, he's just hopeless. It's amazing, isn't it, how he can be so brilliant. But people are talking about lifetime bans. And this is
Paul,
serious.
What, the Herbert to screaming abuse at Raheem Sterling. Yeah.
But the problem with it is they don't work. So even if the club fine him, which they will, and even if they ban them for life, which they will, it won't make any difference. If I wanted to take that bloke next week with me on my ticket into the Matthew Harding Upper, no one would stop me. No one ever says, looks at who I'm with.
No.
You know, and so...
So you think the clubs are just playing lip service to it because they know they can't
manage
the
band? There's one way it works, and you have to have an exclusion zone for 3 hours around the game, and in the middle of the game, whatever game it is, he has to go and report somewhere. Just that's your punishment for this. You have to, every time Chelsea play, you have to go and report. So you cannot be at the match. And that is the only way you will stamp this out and maybe make it a 5-year thing or something like that. But that way, then people, because I know too often people get lifetime bans. They just go again.
But can't, that's confusing. Stop it. And the problem is that's confusing something which, you know, Chelsea is a private property and they don't want them, quite rightly, on their property. But to make somebody report somewhere, that's a kind of legal requirement. You're talking about two very different things.
Well, if they're prosecuted. I mean, if you but some action, something
drastic. Not for life, though.
Something drastic has to be done, because the lifetime ban doesn't work. It doesn't.
I mean, it is, in its own way, it is symbolic. You're right, it isn't a punishment. It is symbolic. It is the club saying, get out of our club.
Well, who wouldn't say that?
Well, exactly.
These people are pathetic.
So, you know, it has that effect.
I mean, I didn't know what had happened with Sterling at all. I had no idea because I wasn't watching it on telly. But all I know is how much I... And I'm not saying this now because I said it to my boy on Saturday afternoon. I said, isn't Sterling amazing? He's fantastic. What a player. If I was in Madrid, I wouldn't be going for Hazard. I'd be going for him. He's brilliant. And all this stuff. And that's, I'm not saying that just now. Mm. I said that during the game. He was a pleasure to watch on Saturday. He's a really wonderful footballer.
I've got to be honest, before the kind of context maybe became apparent, that moment when he went to get the ball and the three guys, I mean, a couple of them are probably old enough to be his dad. I mean, it is so often... If you go and watch it, it's so
it happens.
Often...
It's not just Chelsea. You see that a lot where a player goes near the crowd and they all start going mad.
I'm not singling out Chelsea. I'm always quite surprised. So many of the Herberts, so many of the people who do those kind of things are really old enough to know better. They're often blokes in their 50s. You think, oh, really? And we're going to talk to Birch about this. He went back to Millwall recently and got a good reception generally. But a few people singled him out and shouted some fairly vile stuff. And obviously, if it's racist, it's racist. But things get shouted at players and maybe managers and coaches. Mm. You know, you have to start to think about where the line should be drawn. You know, there is no barrier. We didn't want fences. We didn't want to be caged in. But you do start to think, you know, where is the line drawn? What can you say and what can't you say to someone? And how can or can't you say it? Because it was... I mean, straight afterwards, I think Adrian tweeted, quite a lot of people found that bit of footage long before the relevance of it became apparent. But a lot of people were saying, like, I mean, I think Adrian tweeted something like, state of these guys. And you thought it was quite noticeable because it was HD. It was in your living room.
Yeah,
you thought,
it's disgusting.
Come on.
It's just
and you're right. I'm not singling out one club, because people at my club, people at all clubs do it. And it's pretty vile. Maybe this is, in a lot of ways, maybe it's a bit of a line in the sand moment.
It was.
Let's hope so, anyway.
Yeah, sure. Meanwhile, at the Emirates, following the game on with Adrian on Saturday afternoon, you know it's 0-0, it's 0-0, it's 0-0. And I knew it was going to be a goal of the Emirates, Mike Boville. You just knew they were going to score.
My wife said to me, it's still 0-0 in that game. I said, yeah, it won't be in a minute, though, will it? Well, it's 82 minutes, yeah, but it won't be in a minute, will it? You know what? We know what's going to happen. That's what's always happened. She did come out with a corker the other day, just to lighten the mood slightly. She's going to kill me for this, but it was very funny.
Okay.
So, yesterday we were watching what game was it? The first game? It was your match. Actually, they were doing the Man of the Match.
Oh, yeah.
And they give out the Premier League Man of the Match award.
It's like a yellow thing.
Yeah, that kind of, it's that little block, isn't it? It looks like a little block. So, in all innocence, look, it's an easy mistake to make. She said, oh, they used to give them champagne. She said, so they give them aftershave now. And I thought, I can understand why she did that. But, I mean, it's quite a personal thing, isn't it, aftershave? The idea of saying, well, you're our man of the match
have
today.
Have some eau de Scudamore.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's Scudamore, poor om. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Tremendous.
The great smell of the Premier League chief executive after 2 hours racquetball with Martin Glenn. Yeah, but it would be nice. They said, well, you've won today's aftershave. I mean, imagine the players and the money they've got. They're thinking, I'm not wearing, what are you wearing? Oh, I'm wearing Scudamore. So anyway, if you want to, we can return to that, because now and again, you know, your friends, your rellies, your other half, does say something. Look, I wouldn't call it a daft thing because it's quite understandable. But if it, something humorable, Stuart Pearce would say, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. We're always up for a few more of those along the way.
Yeah.
Anything else? That's it?
No, I have something for you. Because, you know, there's been a bit of controversy about Andre Yedling's red card.
Yeah.
But I actually gave Mike Dean a ring on the way home. He was driving back from the game. He was very pleased with himself that he'd got the decision right. I think he did. And he was singing. Yedling, Redling, Yedling, Redling, Yedling's got a red card. He's a big fan of the Goons.
Yeah, he would be. Yes, that's quite zeitgeisty, Andy.
I thought you'd like all the latest hits.
I must say,
there were some funny, strange moments in the coverage of the Copa Libertadores game last night. But I did think the commentator was right when he said, this has got to be the worst half and half scarf ever.
Yeah.
I mean, two clubs who absolutely hate each other. Why would you bother to wear a scarf that one side was River and the other side was Boca?
No, it wasn't very clever, was it?
But at one point he said, I didn't understand this. He said, it's not the will to win. There are plenty of that out there. It's the will to prepare to win that counts. I was thinking, what are you talking about? It was brilliant.
Well said, that man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, Andy alerted me this morning to a survey that said Burnley fans spend less on Christmas presents than anyone else. Where did you see this, Andy?
I saw it in the ever-reliable Daily Star.
Marvellous.
And here it is. Oh, actually, was it? No, it might have been in the Sunday Mirror yesterday. It might have been doing this there. You'll not get much if he's a Burnley fan, is the headline. Burnley fans spend at least the least on partners at Christmas. Only £20 on average, yet fans of Brighton, who lost 1-0 at Burnley yesterday, thank you very much for that, spend £110. A footballtips.com survey showed that 76% of all fans would skip a festive get-together if it clashed with a game, which isn't really, is it?
Okay, let's speak to Tightwad himself, Burnley fan, friend of the show, weatherman supreme, John Ketley. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Andy. A lovely story, this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, in case you think it's just a northern thing, Watford are second worst.
Are they?
Watford fans only spend £25.
Oh, right. Not Huddersfield, then. You haven't got Huddersfield in that list.
Huddersfield, well, £58, apparently.
Terrible, isn't it, really? It does sound bad on the face of it, but I don't think it's true, is it? It can't be. They haven't actually gone round 22,000 people in the Burnley area asking them, have they? They just haven't done that. Man, you've got to say in defence that most of the Burnley supporters who I know, they spend their fortune on the season ticket to go home and away all year.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I mean, would you on average spend more than £20 on your loved one?
I certainly would, yeah. You can double that. No, fantastic. No, I think that's real cheap, that is, you know. Absolutely shocking. Yeah, I can't believe it's true.
Doubling it puts you makes you an Everton fan, John. So
you'd be all right there. Who are the biggest spenders? Is it sort of your mob?
Brighton 110.
Kings Road.
Man City 104, Fulham 100, right. West Ham 96, Chelsea only 95.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at the demographics of all of this, haven't you, and where it is. We've got a small town team up in the north where it's raining most of the year. Mm. And then you've got these city clubs, most of the First Division, the Premier League, I should call it, of course, these days. Most of the clubs there are very wealthy city clubs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the Burnley club shop and seeing for your £20... You could buy, for example, a pack of three pens, just £6. Top that up with a foldable shopping bag.
Yeah, there's no ink in them.
No, an autograph book and pen. Unfortunately, you'll be going over your £20 if you want to get the Crest cufflinks.
Yeah, well,
so that takes that out of the game. But there's plenty there for £120.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a free lunch, you know, with anything. But it's an interesting survey, but absolute garbage, as far as I
can
see.
When you're not involved with weather, the minute you walk out your front door,
you're involved with weather. That's the you're never off,
are
you?
No,
it's the only job in the world you can get paid to look outside up in the sky all the time. Yeah, but I'm heavily involved. Boys, you know that. I'm heavily involved in the weather to this day with all my weather consultancy for sport around the country and around the world, really.
Okay, but Do you get a lot of... I mean, there's one particular newspaper, I'll spare their blushes, but they basically have what I call weather scares. So every day, there's another scare. So
new ice age.
Storm puts lives in danger. That was the other day, they weren't. Weather warning, Britain will be blanketed in snow today. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Temperatures set to plunge today. No, they won't. And it's incredible. Yeah. And yet it doesn't stop. I collect them. And I'm quite fascinated.
He lives a full life.
I am quite fascinated by the fact that they, you know, they're constantly trying to scare people. It's either the heat, it's hotter than the Sahara, or it's colder than Reykjavik.
Yeah, well,
or something.
This is absolutely true. I know what the paper is that you're talking about, and I'm amazed that you actually collect them, because people do say that people will collect anything. I just collect headaches, but that's too much red wine, probably. It is absolutely true. But I did speak to the editor of this particular paper several years ago now down at Cheltenham. I'm surprised I didn't bump into you that day. He said to me, "I'm not bothered." He says, "John," he says, "so long as we sell more papers because of this rubbish that's on the front page, I don't really care."
It's amazing, isn't it? So that's well, you've just confirmed what I always thought.
Now we had a game.
Rubbish.
We had an old school set. We had a game postponed or called off, abandoned mid-match, 72 minutes in. Accrington, Sunderland was abandoned. I mean, the players were saying. One of the players said, I think he said, "It had always been my dream to score a goal in a league match. But now my first one won't count." Having said that, five minutes later, I was trying to dribble the ball and it got stuck. And that's when the ref pulled off. Great big puddles of water.
I mean, this was Accrington Stanley. Yeah. Not that many miles away from Turf Moor, of course, where we continued. We carried on playing to get this fantastic 1-0 victory. It was just a throwback 12 months, really. But Accrington Stanley's pitch, compared with a Premier League ground these days, it's not quite the same, is it? All the verti draining or whatever they call it. And it's a different substructure and all the rest of it.
Well, I mean, certainly they would have looked at the weather forecast at Accrington before the game. Everybody would have felt it was okay to go ahead because, you know. So, as you said, it's only just down the road from you, John. What was it like at the weekend? Did you think, blimey, this will be calling some games off?
No. No, it was in the forecast. That's all that bothered me. It come down pretty heavy in the afternoon, I have to say. And poor old Sean Dyche looked to be getting pretty wet, didn't he? Yeah. He was suffering slightly. But as I say, the structure of a football pitch is completely different when you're talking about Premier League compared with lower divisions. And Accrington, you've got to say, Accrington have come so far in a few years, really. They can't throw that much money around at making a fantastic pitch with all the things that need to go in it these days to stop abandonments. But I think as they keep on going up, and they are doing well again this season, if they keep on going up, they're going to have to put a lot of money into the infrastructure there.
Sunderland fans were singing Sunderland Till I Dry. Well done. Well done to them. That's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely well done there.
So, John, if you're buying, I'll have the Claret's panel mug, £6.
I'll pop in.
Yeah, I'll have the 9-piece stationery set of tenner, and I know I've only got £4 left. Can I have the A4 sticker packs? Will you stretch to £22? Well, will you break the habit of a lifetime?
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you one thing. This is off the records, nobody listening, but it's disgruntled a few Burnley supporters that now we've changed away strip to either a white one or a black one. And in previous years it's been a white or a pale blue, sky blue, and some claret edgings and all that kind of thing. So the supporters don't like that too much when they have to buy more of these different strips. It does really annoy.
John, finally, how's it looking for punters who are going for a white Christmas?
Well, as I always say to you lads, you know, it's very unlikely to happen in this country.
Yeah.
But I believe it's about 300-1 on for Chicago or something. No, but at the moment you'd say no, absolutely no chance at all. But we keep seeing signs of some colder weather coming back in for Christmas Eve. Probably would last for 24 hours, but not enough to bring snow, I wouldn't have thought at this stage. But having said that, you know, it's a fairly quiet day today. Some colder weather about, clearer weather coming through this week, in the east at least. But wet and windy weather back with a vengeance by Friday night, I would say.
Wow. Okay, ready for the weekend's football. Will you take on Spurs, don't you, at the weekend, John?
Yeah, it looks like a draw. Spurs haven't drawn yet this season, have they? I thought that was a fantastic idea for a draw at 6-1 or 7-1 or something like that. Yeah. I'm always looking for a bargain. I need to when you're saving up for £20 presents.
That's very true. Well done, well rounded.
All the best, John. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
John kept me there. John. Not at all tight. Spending freely for me on the Burnley website. Maybe one of the Burnley fans can bring it all down for me. For the weekend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Oh, yes. I went to a party on Saturday night. It's party season, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, so it is the party season.
So yeah. The worst bit of small talk so far this year. This bloke said to me, honestly, he says to me, who do you think is going to get the England rugby coach's job? I said, what? He said, no, the England rugby coach's job. I thought, blimey, what's happened to Eddie Jones? I said to him, blimey, something happened to Eddie Jones. He went, oh, no, he said, after the World Cup. I said, what are we talking about that now for? It's next year.
Kind of a bit early.
Honestly.
Your considered opinion? What did you come back with then?
Exactly that. Why are you talking about it now when it's not going to happen until next year? Although I did also have a very interesting chat with a former ballerina.
Yeah.
Now a teacher. And she's being employed by, she's got a sporting...
Did she say who's going to get the job at the Royal Opera or the National Ballet or something?
No.
Okay.
She's being employed by ballet companies to work with, rehabbing dancers. Because ballet has changed, it's like football, really. Like new choreography
Similar.
Styles.
It's the working man's ballet,
well,
I believe.
Is,
Tony Waddington once
he
said.
He was very right.
Yeah.
New choreography styles have led to sort of more injuries. So Dame Margot Fonteyn, she was saying to me, she doesn't do any of that. She's a bit like the 70s or 80s in football.
Yeah.
Good, but not as sort of technical as they are now. And
but the stages were much heavier then. The stages were very different.
It's more physically demanding.
Remember the old baseball theatre in Derby? That was very hard to dance on. It would really churn up. You do a Swan Lake on that.
It's true.
Once you got the water on it, there's no undersoil heating. It'd been like Accrington on Saturday.
Yeah. But she's saying Dame Margot was marvellous, but it's not necessarily better now. Fonteyn had it all, Brian Sewell.
So you really are playing into the heartland. It's good, though, Annie. Yeah. You're introducing us. You're bringing ballet dancing back to football. That's fantastic.
Well done. It was very interesting to chat with.
There's a great Iosi Perrett was that kind of typical footballer thing, thinking the world and the referee was against him. He felt he got an elbow in the face, of course.
Yeah.
But on Yedlin's red card, Perrett said, "I'm pretty sure if it had been at the other end, it wouldn't have been a red, you know." So he was like, he was basically saying the ref was biased.
You can't say that.
You can't really. He's obviously a bit upset.
Where's this story? I've got a story. Oh, yeah, this story is a strange story. A fan was arrested for throwing a pie during a Premier League match. The Brighton and Hove Albion supporter faces a £1,000 fine after allegedly lobbing the Piglet's Pantry Pastry.
That's very specific, the kind of pie it was.
Yeah, onto the pitch during his team's 3-1 home win against Crystal Palace.
The Piglet's Pantry Pastry.
Yes, that's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
Remember, of course, they did that at Quinney and he ate it, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Those years ago.
Famously. There's a brilliant bit of research all about how hazelnuts can help various things. And I was reading, that's very interesting. And then it said the research was part-funded by the Hazelnut Marketing Board of Oregon. Yeah, thanks.
That's a great gig, isn't it? They are slightly biased,
well,
aren't they?
I'd say they are slightly biased. Yeah, definitely. And the match report of the Copa Libertadores final may have been trying slightly too hard with this one. Memories that are more at home on a battlefield ahead of what should have been the second leg at the River Plate Monumental Stadium. Fitting, then, that Boca produced a monumental effort at this monumental stadium with the monumental fan base fighting for their monumental trophy. You think I would give it a rest. It's not even monumental, it's monumental.
Okay, oh, you're such a pedant, Andy.
And it wasn't Boca, it was River that put in the monumental effort, wasn't it? Because they actually won the game.
Okay.
And then he said, Pablo Perez was one of the Boca stars with a bandaged eye following the bus attack, yet he strode out of the Bernabeu with both eyes focused on the win. His vision was put to the test from the off as he volleyed straight at the keeper, Franco Armani. You know, when you start with one thing and then you carry it through and you think, I wish I'd never started with that.
You've got to see it through, haven't you?
You have.
Robert Snodgrass was chatting at the weekend, admitted commuting between London and the Midlands when he was on loan at Villa. Saw him pork up a bit, really. I said to the manager, you try travelling from London to Birmingham and eating at services and having a balanced diet. So he blamed. He basically saying if Joe Wicks had to live on service station food,
yeah,
he'd have a bit of a derby.
Well,
on
he
him.
Would.
Yeah.
He's right.
Well, would he? I mean, is it impossible to eat well on the services?
Well, you have salad, I suppose.
He's now got a 5-mile commute, but I'm sure there's a few sort of garages doing the old ginsters en route, isn't there? If Robert wanted to, he could find somewhere in a little 5-mile commute to stuff his face. But he said it was impossible between London.
Well, it is.
And the
you know what he means.
And it's, no, I do.
It's been revealed that the Queen's favourite TV show used to be The Golden Shot on ITV. It's that mad, isn't it?
Still or not?
Well, it's not on anymore, is it? One wants to go up a bit, one wants to go down a bit.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Queen watching.
So she's not. So she obviously hasn't watched a lot of telly since about 1974. Is it nothing else more recently?
I don't think so. Yeah, it was on from between 1967 and 1975.
Okay. They did ask once the Duke of Edinburgh whether he'd watched The Crown.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't very happy.
Yeah, he wasn't best pleased, was he?
What do you think? Bit of a dirty look there to the journalist.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me.
Well, he shook the world last week when he got 5 out of 5 and finally did it. But I do think I set them a bit too easy. I did sort
of course, yeah. It can't be my ability or anything.
No, well, I think you've proved over the years that's pretty shonky, isn't it? So let's start off then. 5 new questions. Can you go on a roll? That's what you want to do, Andy. You want to put the record straight that it wasn't just a fluke. Paul Bring-Turner, when we spoke to him last week on Friday, was just sailing into which harbour?
Well, he was either going from Gibraltar to Marbella.
I'm just sailing into where was it?
I'd say Marbella.
It was Marbella. Well done. Oh, dear, it's not made a good start. Ned Bolting joined us, ITV cycling commentator. He's written a book about darts called Heart of...
Darts. Heart of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, I'll go all right then. I'll give you one of those. Yeah, that's right. Heart of Dartsness. Heart of Dartsness. Okay, Gary Johnson joined us, the Torquay United manager. What a job he's doing. Still top of the league after the weekend, a big top of the table clash with Welling. But where did he take them from? What position did he pick them up at? Okay, we did say.
The producer's helping me. That's no good.
You gave him the answer, did you?
He did.
What did he say?
14th.
Oh, come on. This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, for goodness sake. Start going
Major Charles Ingram, our new producer.
Okay.
14.
Toby, you know this. Mike Parkin from the Watford podcast joined us after their game against City last week. It's known as the Something End podcast.
Rookery.
Oh, Andy, I'm a bit worried you're doing rather
Who
well.
Who told you that one?
Nobody. David Walker.
That's right, yeah.
All right, Dave.
Toby held up a big banner. And finally, Sam Kelly, we've just spoken to him. We caught up with him last Monday ahead of that Super Classico second leg. He does a podcast, an Argentinian football podcast. Which is called what?
Hand of Pod.
Oh, no, he's only got 5 out of 5 for 2 weeks running.
Yeah, but he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He got Heart of Darts wrong and somebody told him another.
Adrian, you're absolutely right. You're a dirty cheat. So we'll do it again next week.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And I think Adrian was spot on. You got one wrong. And the producer gave you the other one. So I think we have to say that was a bit naughty.
It was. I agree.
So we will do it again next week. We're back tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.